St. Philip's Day. Next Sunday, with a kind of a picnic type meal in the vicarage gardens, in the sunshine, or rain, or whatever. But we're celebrating St. Philip's Day. And St. Philip's Day actually is on Wednesday, the 1st of May. And I wanted to just ask you a question, and it's this. Do you, and please do not shout out the answer, but if you know the answer, just put your hand up. Barbara's not allowed to because she knows a bit about this. But maybe she knew before, I don't know. So if you know where the representation of St. Philip is in this church, please put up your hand. Aha. Right. Okay. Well, that's about four people. So, I'm going to show you in a moment. This is a Victorian representation of St. Philip. And actually, St. Philip's Day, which is on Wednesday, is also St. Philip and St. James's Day. So let's have a look at St. Philip. This is St. Philip. Actually, he's not got his name there. And as you go out, you will see that St. Philip is illuminated. And on the left is St. James, who actually is named. Okay. Well, that is our representation in our Victorian church, which it was. And it says on St. Philip and St. James Day prayers that they were apostles, part of the 12 close disciples of Jesus who were named as apostles. But the Philip in our reading was not one of those. He was a completely different Philip. Following Pentecost and the teaching and preaching of the apostles, the number of the Christians increased rapidly in Jerusalem, very rapidly. So rapidly that the apostles got a complaint. And the complaint was from some widows who said they weren't being looked after properly. So the apostles said to the disciples, "We would like you to choose seven men to carry out our practical matters. These seven men were to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." So they chose seven: Stephen, Philip, and five others. Then, following the stoning of Stephen, and his death, persecution broke out against the Christians in Jerusalem. And we are told that all the Christians except the apostles left the city and dispersed. They were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, Galilee, and other parts of the area. And we are told in Acts that they preached the word wherever they went, proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, the promised King. Now, in our reading, in verse 26, it says this: "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip," Philip was now in Samaria. An angel, what's an angel? An angel basically is a messenger of God, not necessarily appearing with wings, as we sometimes assume. Unknown. It can be someone exactly dressed like you or me and appears. Well, the writers of the New Testament do not always give full information about what has happened, as I think most of us know, but they give us the essentials of what has happened. Essentials as they are guided by the Holy Spirit. And the message to Philip was this, as we read in Acts chapter 8. Go south. Now, Philip, interestingly, doesn't say why. Why do you want me to go south? I'm here much further north. I don't want to particularly go south. He didn't say that. But this is what had happened. He was a man of faith, a man who trusted in God. And he followed these instructions. Go south. And we are told that he leaves Samaria, goes through Judea, and travels down from Jerusalem along the desert road to Gaza. But I guess Philip wondered why and what is going to happen to him. But he also realized that God had gone ahead of him. Then suddenly, he sees something unusual. A special chariot appears, no doubt accompanied by lots of other people as well. And in the chariot was a well-dressed man, this Ethiopian. And I guess he was accompanied by others because he was an important man. So important that, as we read, he was in charge of the treasury of the Queen of the Ethiopians. Wow, what a job to be in charge of all the cash and whatever else was in the treasury of a queen. Not a light job, was it? It was a very important job. Yet this senior government official from that area didn't think that the culture that he was in was necessarily absolutely the right one, because he'd found out about Judaism and had gone and was on his way, had been on his way to Jerusalem, where he had worshipped this God and was now returning home. And as we heard in our Bible passage, he was reading from a book, from the prophet Isaiah. Now, in actual fact, this also shows that he was an intelligent man, because the version, as we're told, that he was reading from was the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament. So he was very intelligent. And the Spirit had told Philip, go to that chariot and stay by it. You know, we might ignore a stranger as we walk along the road, but at that time in Eastern culture, that wasn't the case. So, well, this man had appeared next to the chariot and was going along with the chariot, and then something special happened. Philip was listening to what the man was reading. And when he was reading, he said to him, again, I guess, prompted by the Spirit, do you understand what you are reading? And here was this intelligent man, and says this, how can I unless someone explains it to me? You know, we cannot assume that people know about Christ and Christianity, about Christian festivals and special days like Easter or Good Friday. The other week, a friend of ours in her 80s from another church was in conversation with her cleaner, and she realized that the cleaner was asking her questions, that the cleaner was rather muddled up about Good Friday and Easter. And so our friend said to her, would you like to come with me to church? And she said, yes. And so what happened was, our friend went with her cleaner and the cleaner's sister to the church where she, where the sister and the cleaner lived. Not to her own church. Our friend took her to a different church. And there she heard more about the gospel. Well, what eventually happens in that story, I don't know. But there was an opportunity that our friend seized. Do we seize opportunities to speak about our faith and encourage others to know more about Christ? I have missed opportunities, regretfully, and I guess you might have too. So we have to actually keep in step with the Holy Spirit when that comes up, to actually take that opportunity to encourage others and to speak to others. So back to the highly educated and important Ethiopian. He was humble enough to invite someone he had never met into his chariot and to explain what he was reading. So he says, as we heard, what is the prophet talking about? So Philip explains these verses from Isaiah, and it's as we know, because we live in the age when Christ has been, we know that these words are actually referring to Jesus. So it is the good news about Jesus, the Son of God, who one day was going to come. The one who, as we see in Paul's letter to Philippians, Jesus was the one who humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why? So that sinners like me, like you, can be forgiven and have everlasting life. And this is proved by Jesus coming alive again and being this resurrection taking place. So the Ethiopian, in all this talking that went on, must have thought, I need to trust and put my trust in this Jesus. And he did so. Because then Philip must have explained that if you trust in Jesus, you should be baptized. And as they traveled along, the Ethiopian saw water and said, can I be baptized? What can stand in the way of it? And actually, nothing. He ordered the chariot to be stopped, and Philip and the Ethiopian went into the water, and Philip baptized the Ethiopian. I wonder what the Ethiopian's servants and people, the chariot driver, thought. I guess they were absolutely amazed. And when they went back home, they told people that what had happened to this great man, the treasurer of the country. Anyway, Philip had obeyed the Lord and done what the Lord had told him to through the Spirit. And the Spirit guided him again. And off he goes. So the question is, am I open to the Holy Spirit's guidance? Are you? Is the Spirit living in you? So Philip went on, and he went on to back through Judea, Samaria, and where he preached the gospel as he had to do. So Philip obeyed. But what happened to the Ethiopian? We're told he went on his way rejoicing because of what had happened. So if we are, we can be challenged too. And the challenge for us is this: are we in step with the Spirit? Are we in step with the Spirit? Last week, I read these words from a theologian and an Indian Bible teacher who said this: we need to be guided by God every step of the way. He will guide us through our daily devotions, that's probably reading the Bible, through speakers, through sermons, through Christian books, and the still small voice. That still small voice came to Prophet Elijah many years before. But actually, I have experienced that still small voice, that clear voice, on one occasion when I was in church listening to a sermon, and suddenly God spoke clearly to me. And it was this: Michael, finish teaching at the end of this year. Wow. Wow. I was happy in my job. I felt I was doing a reasonable job. I was in a group of a lot of Christians in St. Philip's School, and things were going well. Why did he challenge me? Well, I resigned. And I didn't really know why until the next year. And there's a whole lot more that I could tell you, but not now. Well, you might too have an experience like that, or you might not. But God does communicate with you and me in different ways. So if you're willing, you can be guided by the Spirit, and as as we heard, it's keeping step with the Spirit. It may be to do this, something simple. It may be to phone someone, to write someone a letter, to actually go and visit them. It may be to support things, like it might be you'll be challenged to actually help the events in this church. It might be to go and support someone who needs physical help, maybe shopping, something like that. It isn't, or life that isn't easy for people, maybe just support and be with them just silently and alongside them. It might be to change jobs or to stop the job. It might be to move away to another place. We need to be open to what God is saying to us. So be assured of this, that if you get the opportunity in any of those situations to speak up for Christ, he, through the Holy Spirit, will give you the strength to do this. The opportunity to speak about your faith, and he'll help you. So the challenge for me each day is, as Paul said in the Galatians, you have got the Holy Spirit. Are you going to keep in step with the Spirit? Keep in step with the Spirit. As we've put our trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us right now. But we have to contact him to keep in step, to know what he wants us to do. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be open to the promptings of your Holy Spirit and act on them and keep in step with him day by day. Amen.